Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Question and answer time. If you've got a question, we may have an answer for you. You can get a hold of us by sending us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That will get you direct contact with us. If you'd much rather talk to us, you can do that by giving us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-SHOW. Easy for you to remember, so it's always ready for you at your any given time. And that phone line, if you can't call during the show, you can certainly call anytime, 24/7. We leave our phone lines open for that particular reason. Had a number of questions come in this week, Holly, so let's just go down the list that we have.
So Danielle asks, I have a large asparagus bed at our new property. These weeds are getting a little out of control. I'd like to mulch areas in the garden to help reduce weeds. What type of mulch is best? I would like a mulch walking path spread in the rhubarb bed and asparagus patch. Should I use a natural mulch or shredded bark mulch? What would be the best practice?
Well, you would want to do a natural mulch, preferably, you know, we want to avoid when we talk, when I say natural, I mean like not rubber, you know, rubber tire chips like on a playground. You could use straw, you could use leaves, you could use pine needles. However, that's not going to last very long. I would recommend, wood chips. If you can get a hold of, sign up for Chip Drop and have them deliver to your property, or you can, if you have access to wood chips or wood chipper, or you can get a good deal this time of year on wood chips at a garden center, you certainly would be better off going that route. And that would, you know, build it 2 or 3 inches high. And then over the course of 3 or 4 or 5 years, you're going to have to add to that as the wood chips begin to break down and feed the soil. But, you know, you could put around your rhubarb and put around your asparagus would be ideal. We have that issue currently with our asparagus patch. It's only 10 plants. However, we planted it from 1 year crowns this year, and the weeds have overtaken that. Now the fronds are still growing, and it will take about another, it'll take 2 more years before we actually be able to harvest asparagus off that bed. But we are going to look at some, either wood chips, is the primary source. That we're going to look at, if we have to temporarily use leaves or, pine needles or something of that, we will do such. But that is a great thing to do for your perennial areas, even around like the flower beds. You know, only thing you want to be aware of is your home. If you have, you know, the problems or the potential problems of termites, if you put wood chips right up next to the foundation, that can be an issue. But if you have, raised beds or items like that for perennial flowers or mums, like we talked about in segment one, wood chips would be a very, very good use of such items. So that would be very good. But yeah, I would like to get wood chips around a lot of the portions of our garden, but it's baby steps before you can run. So keep that in mind.
Yep, definitely. So when is the right time to harvest Jerusalem artichokes, aka sunchokes?
Okay, so first of all, Holly, what are sunchokes or Jerusalem artichokes?
So Jerusalem artichokes or sunchokes are a perennial root crop, and they are, or tuber actually, and the flower itself is related to like a sunflower or a dahlia, and they grow a beautiful flower. What you end up eating is the tuber, which grows below the surface of the ground, and they are a perennial. I don't know if I said that or not.
Say it again.
They're perennial, and they are like a less starchy potato type vegetable.
Now, before you go wandering off to find some tubers in order to plant, when we talk about perennial, they are prolific. They don't spread like mint would. We've got, what would you say, Holly, 80, 90 square feet in which we have a patch of them in the physical ground that's been there for going on 8-10 years now. And they don't spread, but no matter how thorough you think you have removed the tubers from the ground, there are always tubers that remain that will regrow the next season or the next year's generation. I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, we thought we had lost them. We dug all the bed up, got the largest tubers, replanted them, spaced them, I think like 2 foot apart or something. And now we've got more tubers, more plants than we know what to do with, which not necessarily is a bad problem, but the tubers are, they have a earthy taste. I would say mix a turnip, a rutabaga, and a potato together, and you probably will have a very close semblance of what a, Jerusalem artichoke or sunchoke's flavor is. Some people will put them in a crock pot and roast them. We find it to be a very unique buttery flavor. When we talk buttery, we don't mean like the butter, but it's very soft and
rich, like a rich flavor.
And then other people find that to be inedible. You can eat these on a you can eat these raw. Some people will take and cut them in little chips and then dip them in guacamole or ranch or whatever the case is. You can also take the tubers and you can ferment them. Now, we attempted to do this a couple of years ago. It was 2 years ago. And we had mild success for pickling them or fermenting them, I guess would be the proper. Holly, explain real quickly the difference between a fermentation and a pickling. Because some people may think, well, isn't that kind of the same?
Well, there's a lacto-fermentation slash pickling where it's a pickling of fermentation, and then there's like a vinegar pickling.
Okay.
And so the fermentation pickling is when you're using a lot of salt to help kind of preserve the item, and it goes through this fermentation process. And it does, you can add different things, but it does give it kind of a, that, what's the word, acidic tart flavor, like a vinegar pickle. And then there's the vinegar pickle, which is the more common.
Which, when we can, you know, pickling, you water bath, but you can refrigerate pickle. With the fermentation, you're using specific tools in order to make sure there's oxygen not getting into the batch as it does its process of converting certain elements into, you know, the fermentation stage, the layman's terms there. So we did that, and you can add different flavors. We tried barbecue powder, paprika. We just did it natural without any.
I think we used turmeric.
Another one. So we will continue to explore that. We found that most of it, you want to do it in small batches. We were doing it in half-gallon batches, and it didn't work out because we found out that certain things didn't taste good, and then we had a half-gallon jar of fermented, horrible-tasting Jerusalem artichoke sunchokes in them. So not necessarily the best thing there. So you can grow these. You want to get them in the spring. You don't find them in the store very often because of their short shelf life. But you want to harvest them when the flowers have turned, which they are in our garden right now. And as the flowers die off or as they're being, you know, developed and in that blooming stage, you can start harvesting. We've harvested about 4 or 5 pounds right now. And then as the frost kills back, you can harvest them again. And you can harvest them all the way up till the ground freezes. Now, what many people or some people will do is they'll cut back the top stalks, which each plant will produce 3 to 8 pounds of tubers based on, you know, the soil conditions. They'll grow in poor soil very well. And the plant vertical growth will get 8 to 18, 20 feet tall. We've had them very, very tall before in our garden. So they'll cut back the stalks, leaving a foot of stalk above the ground so they can see where the roots would be, mounding feet, mountains of leaves over top of that particular area, and then harvesting them over the winter months, mimicking a refrigerator where the leaves will keep the soil chilled but won't allow it to freeze. Then you have access to your tubers, the Jerusalem artichokes. Also, what we have done and found to work very well is you take a bucket, put 2 inches of soil in the bucket from the garden, layer a layer of Jerusalem artichokes, put another 2 or 3 inches, and repeat until the bucket's full. We keep it in the stairway of our attic, which keeps it chilled but not frozen, and we have access to it very, very quickly and easily. If you just take your Jerusalem artichokes and put them on the counter, in about 48 hours, they're going to be non-edible because they're going to be all dried up. You can put them in a Ziploc bag and put them in the crisper of the fridge, and they'll keep for about a month. That's pretty much the lifespan of them there. So some multitude of different options. Real quickly, Holly, before we run out of time, garlic. You had a question come in about garlic.
Yep, my coworker and friend Deanna, she wants
a repeating question offerer of the, and that's what we love. We love people who have questions. Because they come to the source, because why, you know, make a mistake when you can get the right answer the first time around?
Yeah, and I visited her earlier this summer. It was like, I don't know, August. But and saw her garden, and she has a nice little setup there. And she was asking about growing garlic, so I told her. And she said, can I grow the garlic that's in my fridge? And I said, did you get it from a grocery store? And she told me where she got it from. And I said, well, that was likely grown hydroponically and is not going to reproduce as you want. So, I actually went, I gave her some of our garlic. But what happens is that when you buy this from the store, it usually has a growth inhibitor on it because it's getting shipped, whether it be from China or Mexico, somewhere further away.
It's tiny.
And, it's pretty generic. So, yeah. So.
And generic meaning the variety and generic meaning the flavor. It's so bland.
Right.
When we give garlic away, we say, you know, like you told Deanna, only use a quarter of what you were normally using from store-bought because the flavor is so enriched that it's night and day.
I forgot to tell her that, but she'll be okay.
Yeah, she can hear it. hopefully she's listening now, she's already experienced the problem.
Might be too late. But anyway, so... Yeah, so that's the thing, is that you want to grow garlic that is going to be, whether it be from a local source, your farmer's market, what have you, from the grocery store.
Big Elk Garlic Farm, bigelkgarlicfarm.com. They've got garlic that will meet and exceed your expectations, so you can certainly get it from there. They still have some garlic left for you to plant in your garden.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.